It's time!
You're listening to Pound for Pound, ringside for all things MMA and boxing on WFUV Sports.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into another installation of Pound for Pound. I am Mahdi Dembele, and joining me here is Zach Cordova and Chris Carino. Again, we do this for Andrew, just a shout out. We pour one out for him. But guys, before we start talking about some cage, how is everything going with you two?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. It feels weird without Andrew here, you know, but again, big shout out to him on graduating. It's a big thing for him. So we're really proud of him. And he's the guy who kind of got all of this started, this podcast and everything. So it's so cool to carry it on now after he started it. And I'm excited to do for what's coming for this podcast and both for in combat sports too. I mean, there's a lot of big events coming up. So definitely excited to get into it all.
Yeah, I joke. Andrew Canary is Mr. MMA of WFUV, and I joke that, but it is the truth. I remember when I came here as a freshman, I remember even at the infancy of it, him showing me making the design for the logo and kind of getting everything ready for the podcast up until now, and all the fights he got to cover and all the podcasts he did in between. It was a hell of a journey for Andrew, and obviously Pound for Pound and the MMA sector of WFUV Sports wouldn't be nowhere near where it is today without Andrew Canary, and people like me, Mahdi, and Zach would not have a forum to do this. So we thank Andrew. And yeah, I'm always excited to talk some cage, especially with the big fight. Obviously, Dustin Poirier, a chance to make history in this state coming up in a couple of weeks. Obviously, MMA is a big talking point around me and all my friends recently. And it's just nice kind of meeting the theme of what I've been discussing recently.
Never to be copied, never to be replicated. Andrew Canary, the MMA god of WFUV. You remember that now and always. But boys, we're going to skip over 302 for now. A little bit of a lighter week. I wanted to jump into the big boxing match that just occurred. Tyson Fury versus Alexander Usyk. I mean, Tyson Fury was always a little bit overrated, in my opinion. I had the feeling, I knew he had the quick 1-2, but other than that, he's not a great combination puncher. He's a little bit overrated looking at the resume. I thought Alexander Usyk, who's really a cruiserweight, could come in and beat the heavyweights and really claim the number one spot pound for pound away from Bud Crawford. Guys, I don't know if you saw the fight, but what are your reactions to it?
Yeah, I'll start. I think it's interesting. I don't think Tyson is overrated. I have kind of a different perspective on him. I have a lot of respect for Tyson. Obviously, the Klitschko win to me has such a pedestal in my brain because of just the reign that Klitschko had over the division, along with beating arguably the most dominant fighter in the history of the division twice in the Bronx Bomber. It just feels like that resume, especially as he got older, started really catching some serious steam. Obviously, toward the end in the last two recent fights, it hasn't necessarily lived up to the billing of the rest of his resume. But I think it almost gets kind of underrated with especially time bias, especially recency bias. I feel like that resume is good. And kind of looking at this fight almost gives me more respect for Usyk, because I have such a high kind of esteem for Tyson Fury in my head, and Usyk really blitzed him. It feels like Fury has had the same problems in his last two fights, kind of underestimating his opponent a little bit, because I feel like when Tyson thinks of himself as the underdog or kind of thinks of his opponent as an equal, I don't know if there's any fighter in the history of boxing that can beat him, but when he's kind of downplaying them, he is very beatable, and we saw that. And also, not taking away anything from Usyk, he was fantastic, almost perfect in a lot of instances and a lot of stretches of the fight. And honestly, yeah, you brought up the pound for pound rankings. I still am a Bud Crawford guy. I think Bud Crawford is the best boxer on the planet, but I think Usyk is making a really, really good case in this fight. Definitely a good place to start.
Yeah, no, man. I agree with everything you said. I also have a lot of respect for Tyson Fury in the boxing sphere, just because for him to get up during that Deontay Wilder fight from some of the shots that he took, I mean, literally seemed like he was out and still got up and still fought. And that's what we saw in this fight too, is another instance of Tyson Fury getting tested, going through some adversity, getting rocked. But the reality is Usyk was robbed of a knockout. I don't know what you got, how you guys feel about the ref calling the knockdown when Tyson's stumbling around the ring and falling against the ropes, keeping himself up. But he stops the fight, and Fury's still technically on his feet and stopped what was about to be probably a brutal knockout, which maybe for his health wise and the way that the fight was looking, maybe not the worst move by the referee to call that a knockdown. But I also feel like if you're at a point where you're going to save a guy while he's stumbling, you might as well just call the fight, because he was getting beaten down in that moment. He's taking a lot of heavy shots and he was barely able to stand up on his own. The Gypsy King can always find a way to stay on his feet somehow. But this time, I mean, he was maybe a second away from catching a straight right from Usyk that would have put him down for the night. And I just feel like we as the fans were robbed, and I feel like Usyk was robbed of a tremendous knockout, because you get to a decision and all of a sudden it changes the narrative a little bit more. There's a little bit more questions, where if he knocks out Tyson Fury, there's no doubt, no question about it. But at the end of the day, he did get the win. I believe he deserved to get the win. A lot of people are talking about it being a really close fight, with maybe Fury winning some of those rounds, especially earlier on in the fight. But I think the right man won the fight, especially after that whole eighth round, catching Tyson Fury in the moment and getting him stumbling around. So, I mean, it's just history, guys. We saw history on Saturday with Usyk claiming all the heavyweight belts, and he's, I think, the first undisputed heavyweight champion in what, over 10, over, gosh, I don't even remember how
The
many
four
years.
belt
It was
era.
a really long time, the first time in the four belt era. So, I mean, this is huge, guys. This is history and really big moment for Usyk.
I mean, Zach, you bring up a good point. Again, he was the first one in the four belt era and the first one to do it since Lennox Lewis in the three belt era all the way back in 2000. I think you bring up an interesting point, right? We always say on this podcast, it's not just who you beat, but how you beat them, whether it's Tyson Fury or like the guy coming off of the corner. If you knock them out in spectacular fashion, you will have eyes on you. I'm looking straight at the corner, right? It's your job to tell your guy this is enough. You have to throw in the white towel at some point. And for the fans, like, we want to see a knockout. Like, give us an opportunity to see a boxing match that we actually enjoy. Again, never really the biggest fan of Tyson Fury. I thought he beat Deontay Wilder handedly. But again, Deontay Wilder, with the over-reliance of power and not really being a top-tier boxer in that sense, because it's the sweet science and the boxing, I thought he was a bit overrated. He relied too much on his power and he never became a better fighter.
I
But
also think getting toward the end of the fight, kind of, I think it's a little semantical, kind of talking about either a stoppage or a towel thrown, because I do feel like it's such a small amount of time that we talk for so long about. It almost doesn't feel like it's in the moment. I don't know if necessarily Tyson Fury's corner even has the right to throw in the towel. He seems like a kind of guy that would make it. So telling them, hey, no matter what happens, I'll have it in written contract, you guys cannot throw in a towel. That's absurd. And also, from the ref's perspective, it feels like that's his job there. And it felt like a right stoppage. I understand the fireworks, I understand the lust for blood that fans may have, but in kind of the context of health and things of that nature and getting a clean win, a clean fight, I do think it was probably the right decision.
But at the same time, though, I feel like he's still standing. And that's a moment that I feel like could change a fight, because the reality is we got a split decision. It wasn't a unanimous decision. And Usyk could have very well lost that fight, when in that moment he could have won it with a knockout. And he should have won it with a knockout, because the ref stepped in, and instead of saying, okay, this guy's had enough, he gives Tyson Fury a chance to recover. Not just recover, but it was right before the bell too. So he gives it, calls the 10 count, and there's maybe 11 seconds left on the clock. Fury just waits it out till the end of the count, and before you know it, the bell rings, and he's able to go to his corner, recover, and fight for the rest of the fight, and maybe even get a win on his own end. So I feel like it takes away from Usyk in that moment, because It's such a big moment in a fight where you finally catch somebody, especially at that level. And that's something that Usyk was trying to set up the entire fight, and he finally got it to land. And he had Tyson Fury against the ropes. He had Tyson Fury on completely wobbly legs, and I mean, he just got taken away from him.
It's almost reminiscent of Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia, that last fight. You see them trying to give Dev chance after chance after chance, but at some point, you got to let these guys fight. Speaking of Ryan Garcia, as we move on to the next bit of news in this podcast episode, Ryan Garcia, it's D-Day for him, if I have to say. His B sample is going to be tested today to see whether or not he did, in fact, cheat in that fight, in that whooping of Devin Haney down here in Brooklyn, New York. Guys, I mean, depending on what it comes back as, whether it's positive or whether it's negative, what do you see as the implications? Like, what do you think is going to come out of this news, regardless of the situation?
Oh man, this is like a whole crazy scenario, because it's crazy that we are even here in the first place, because most people did not think Ryan Garcia was gonna beat Devin Haney. And he goes out there and beats him like that. I know we've talked about it already plenty in the previous episodes, but now we have the whole shenanigans with not only Ryan Garcia going crazy on social media, but now we have the supposed positive drug test 2 weeks after the fight. And it seemed a little sketch when it first happened. Ryan Garcia's like completely denied everything, which, I mean, who's going to admit to taking steroids if you're doing it? But at the same time, everybody, the narrative, I feel like the narrative still hasn't shifted around the fight. Even though the test has come out, I feel like people are still feeling like, well, Haney still got beaten down. Haney was that guy before this fight, and he got beaten down by Ryan Garcia. And people are just like, oh, it's not really nothing you can change there. And I feel like a lot less people are kind of not believing the positive drug test. A lot of people are siding with Ryan Garcia on this one. I don't know what you guys have seen or how you guys feel about it, but.
I have a kind of interesting take on this. I feel like with all the semantics after this fight, I feel like in the moment and in the kind of week after, it was so powerful and such a moment for boxing. Both of these sides have now diminished the win and the loss in so many ways
That's
that
a good point.
now they have just diminished the importance of this event entirely. And in a lot of ways, just did a terrible thing for the sport, because the sport had a really great moment that was kind of essential for the sport that was really in a bad way. And now, obviously, Tyson Fury, we just talked about that. That maybe not ne maybe didn't necessarily go how they wanted it to go. And this Ryan Garcia fight, which is supposed to have all this fanfare, is now clouded by controversy in both kind of camps. And then it really comes down to both fighters accusing the other of being guilty, so then both end up kind of diminishing the l legitimacy and the importance of the event, and kind of do the exact opposite of what they're trying to do in the first place with having the fight, which is to kind of drum up importance and drum up legitimacy.
I mean, Chris, I want to go down that road a little bit. I want to play conspiracy theorist. This is why I'm thinking it's coming from Devin's camp. I mean, both guys have a fighting heart. I said this a thousand times. Both guys have a fighting heart. And sometimes with fighters, they can't understand why they lost or how they lost. Marvin Hagler and Tommy Hearns. Tommy Hearns blamed his loss against Marvin Hagler on the massage he received from Emmanuel Stewart. Like, sometimes guys can't compute that. And maybe, if I'm going down this conspiracy road, they just do things like they may send off, or they may expose a tainted blood sample or a tainted drug sample here, because the implications are clear. If it comes back that Ryan Garcia did not cheat, what's left for Devin Haney, guys? I mean, like,
And
really,
also, it's not improbable either for a fighter like Haney to want to kind of delegitimize the win of
yeah.
Garcia, and especially with the history of his family and things of that nature, we kind of know that they might take drastic measures, because that public image is kind of the most important thing and the thing that brings in the money at the end of the day, which we all kind of need to remember. Kind of similar to this Drake or Kendrick situation, and why the kind of stakes are so high, I would.
And I feel like it takes away from the sport as a whole too, because like Chris said, we had this moment, we had this incredible moment in boxing where we don't see it as often anymore. More and more we are starting to see it, but it has been a thing of the past where the biggest names, the biggest guys in the sport are fighting each other. And we finally get it. Ryan Garcia, Devin Haney fight. And it turns out to flip the entire sport on its head. And here we are in this scenario where we're talking about positive drug tests and getting the fight reversed. And I think it really takes away from what guys like Ryan Garcia and the promoters of this event are trying to turn around in boxing because all of a sudden people aren't going to want to take risks. People aren't going to want to fight these guys because, well, hey, I might get the chance, but if I go in, maybe the other camp tries to delegitimize my win and try to say I have a positive drug test. Or the other way around, guys are afraid to lose because in boxing, the O has become one of the most important things. And I think that's something that MMA has kind of figured out, where you have guys like Charles Oliveira, who I think has double digit losses, yet is still one of the biggest stars in the world. Alex Pereira has a loss. And after he knocks out, or after Izzy knocks him out, he comes back, wins a new belt, and he's bigger than ever. And I think
But
that's
also,
something that's
Zach, that
major
goes to
boxing.
my point. And before I forget the point, I'm gonna
Go
cut in. I
for it.
think that also comes from what I was saying, image, intent, image, and kind of the face. Because someone like Charles, his face and his reputation is resiliency. So he's gonna get all those chances to lose, and he's gonna get to lose all those times and continue to get those big fights. So that's why, kind of the point of Haney, the public image and kind of the persona, almost in kind of a WWE setting, is so important. Because in real life and in real sports, that's really how you make your money and how you get on these big cards, and and get to get losses and take losses like Garcia and not really be affected by them, really.
Yeah, exactly. Just like Garcia. That's something Devin Haney needs to take out of Ryan Garcia's book, is take this loss, accept it, move on, go try to fight somebody else big. Don't be afraid. Go fight someone else, because that is exactly what Ryan Garcia did. He loses to Tank Davis in a way that people really, really criticized and slandered him for, going down to a body shot in the way that he
Right
did it.
after camp.
And he comes back and he fights Devin Haney, wins, and he's bigger than ever. I think it's just, you got to take that risk. You got to just accept your loss and go back and just try to dare to be great again. And that's what Devin Haney needs to do.
Zach, you brought up Cage and the kind of mentality that's there with just fighting the best, regardless, win, lose, or draw, you put it all on the line. That was actually something that MMA stole from boxing. Think about the old school boxers. Evander Holyfield, 10 losses in his career, I want to say. Tyson, 6 losses. Ali, maybe 5. Sugar Ray Robinson's the greatest boxer of all time. He has 19 losses on his resume, but that was never the point. These guys have been way too obsessed with the O. We need to go back to old school boxing and the old school mentality that the UFC has been able to manifest and capture. Speaking of Cage, I know you guys are dying to talk Cage. We've been talking about it even in the boxing segment. We're going to jump over to UFC 304. We're going to skip UFC 302. It's a bit of a thinner week, but it just got announced. And my boy Bilal Muhammad, Zach, I can already see your face. You're disgusted, but eats. You know what? Because Bilal Muhammad finally gets his title shot against Leon Edwards at the welterweight division. Guys, your general thoughts? All I got to say is this is going to be so much fun for me. Not so much for Zach, but I'm excited to see what you guys say.
Listen, listen, listen. I'm not saying it's not going to be fun. I think the styles definitely make for a fun matchup. I'm just thinking ahead of the non-ironic part, where if Bilal wins this belt, and I don't want to take away from Bilal because Bilal is a great fighter, he's just incredibly boring. And he's going to win. If he wins, he's going to win by a 5-round decision. He can't even picture it himself because he posted on Twitter, "Oh, I was visualizing this fight. I see myself winning a 5-round decision." The guy can't even picture himself getting a finish. And that's the crazy thing, is if he wins this fight, he's going to go on to defend the belt maybe 2 or 3 times, all by decision. And I don't want to see
And
it.
you
I
guys are gonna
don't want to see
enjoy
it. A Bilal Muhammad title defense would be on the prelims. And I'm not even kidding,
it.
just because we're going to get a 5-round decision snooze fest. And man, I hope my boy Leon pulls through, and I'm confident that Leon Edwards is just going to shut down the whole Bilal hype train. Deserved title shot, definitely. But Leon Edwards is going to shut it all down.
As a very public and self-proclaimed Leon sexual, I do feel like it's pretty lunacy that people in the MMA world have watched his last three fights and don't think that this guy Bilal has zero chance. Like, this guy has beaten Kamaru Usman twice and then Colby Covington. I don't think Bilal Muhammad is stopping him. Like, again, we just went 4 or 5 minutes talking about what happens if the guys win this title. I'm a huge Leon is my favorite fighter. He's my ever. Like, Leon is my favorite. I haven't thought about him losing once. I
Yeah.
haven't thought about him losing once. It's literally, it's similar to a thing I just watched involving a lawyer. It was a documentary. And he was consoling a daughter during this case. And he said to the daughter, "I haven't even thought about losing this case for one second. That's how I feel about this main event. I'm just more worried about what cool UK slang Leon's gonna say after the fight. That's what I'm worried about. And how many stuffs he's gonna do on Bilal's takedowns. I'm at least five in 5 rounds, but I don't know. I just think when you look at his last three fights and you don't think that Leon could probably beat any style of fighter in the UFC, you have to be not watching the fights or a bit of a dum-dum.
Yeah, man, I know, I fully agree with that. Come on. Come on now. People are playing with it because I think, listen, and Bilal is a great fighter. He really is. You don't just go on that long of a win streak if you're not good enough. Leon Edwards is a whole different level of competition. Like you said, the names you just brought up, Kamaru Usman, and then he goes and beats Colby Covington. Guys who are great, great wrestlers.
Oh, and he beat
Where
Nate Diaz before that too. Like that
I
also
mean,
happened.
he almost lost that one. But we don't want to count that one.
That
He almost got
no.
knocked out if Nate
If
Diaz was
Nate's
against
stupid enough not to go for the win, then he's also stupid enough to get the L. I'm sorry.
Oh man. But at the same time, when you look at guys like Kamaru Usman, who he's beat, and I know MMA math is stupid,
Yeah.
but you see him beat Kamaru Usman, you see him beat Colby Covington. What do you see in Bilal that gives him an edge over Leon Edwards, because those guys couldn't beat him? How's Bilal gonna do it? What's his method to victory that's different from those guys?
Guys, UFC math makes no sense. Chris, you mentioned dum-dum. Let me be that dum-dum. I love playing devil's advocate in this sense. To tell you the truth, Bilal Muhammad should have got the title shot before Colby Covington. I mean, really, Colby Covington is obviously the superior fighter, but activity matters. What has Colby Covington really done to deserve that fight? And that turned out to be a snooze fest. I mean, you guys want to talk about resumes? Gilbert Burns, Sean Brady, Vicente Luque, Wonderboy Thompson, Damian Maya. He's going to avenge this loss against Leon Edwards. And again, my brain is telling me he's absolutely not, but my heart, and for the fun of it, is telling me he's going to get one back. And Zach, you're going to enjoy it. You're going to enjoy it when he's tight, when he's champ, and he's running through the division 3-4 fight win streak. And you're going to sit there and you're going to enjoy every single solitary decision, no knockout.
Decision. Come on. Even you can't see it. Even you can't see a finish,
Nope.
man.
I
The
hope
guy
it
has, I
happens,
think, the
though.
most significant strikes without a knockdown in the UFC. That is impressive. Like, it is impressive to have such pillow hands. And even Sean Strickland packs a little bit more of a punch than Bilal Muhammad. And I don't mean to just like totally just throw out what Bilal's done, because he is a good fighter, and I keep saying it, he's a good fighter. That's why I'm scared that he might go in here and get a decision win against Leon Edwards. I don't think it's gonna happen, not in this universe. But I mean, come on, man. I don't know. I just don't see it. Like Chris says, I don't see Leon losing this fight.
Madi, did you think Leon was going to beat Kamaru the second time?
The second time around, no, because I didn't believe,
No,
like,
that's all I needed. That's all I needed. That's all I needed. That's all I needed.
explain context.
That's all I needed.
Madi,
Because I
did
know, because I it's the same argument. It's the same thing. It's like, oh, Leon, one 3 seconds, and he's the champion. It's like, no, let me go beat you in 5 rounds. Like, let's run it back 5 rounds. I'm gonna go beat you again, and then I'm gonna go take the guy that everyone says I'm running from. I'm gonna make him look like a shell of himself. I'm gonna beat him too, and then
You
I'm
know
gonna go
what?
boring guy. I'm gonna beat the boring guy too, just for gigs.
It's been a long time coming for Leon Edwards, one of the most disrespected fighters for a very long time. I'm happy for him. We call that good karma, and good karma is gonna come for Bilal Muhammad. Well, you guys have disrespected this man way too much. I wasn't even particularly a huge fan of him, but the
Now
slander
you're forced to
is.
be a super fan now.
Yeah, now I'm supposed to be a super fan. I got you, Bilal. I got you. Fans are disrespectful to him. You remember taking a picture? He just moved Bilal. Like, you guys suck. You
Oh
guys.
yeah,
I
that
have a
guy
problem with
waited
those people in
in.
general, but yes, Bilal is also not great.
No, that
Oh
was
my God.
hilarious. That guy waited 2 hours to get a picture of Bilal Muhammad just to say, "Hey, you know what? I just want a picture of the belt. Bilal, can you move over?" Hilarious.
If you have any sort of air of superiority over a professional fighter, I want to punch you in the face.
It's
But
weird.
Marty, to me, my question is, do you really think, especially after watching the first fight, because it didn't last long. Again, we get an eye poke, and people say that Bilal was looking for a way out in that fight and he found it. I don't think after watching that performance, as for as long as it lasted, you can necessarily be encouraged by Bilal, because I think
No.
Leon was piecing him up a little bit. Bilal looks lost, and then he gets eye poked and immediately takes his way out. And that's how I saw it, at
No,
least.
no. In a more serious sense, I do believe Leon Edwards will take this fight. I mean, as a
There
stand,
we go. Now we got it out
but
of him.
no. I'm still rooting Team Bilal. Like I always say, if you're predicting, go for Leon. But if you're betting, go for my boy Bilal Muhammad. He won't
Oh
disrespect
man, the
you.
Bilal Muhammad betting experience is one that would give me nightmares.
No.
No.
But in a more serious sense, Leon Edwards is a superior stand-up guy, and he's more fluid, the bigger vessel. Even his takedown defense is sneaky good, man. Colby Covington tried it, and he stuffed it a bunch of times. So I do think Leon Edwards does have this back. But UFC math again makes no sense. Bilal Muhammad for U.S. President 2024. We're gonna move on here from UFC 304. We're gonna jump to UFC 306. I know Zach is super, super excited for this one. I mean, it's an overall good card. UFC 306 on the card. We're looking at guys like Ilia Topuria, Sean O'Malley, Max Holloway. I mean, guys, your overall sense.
Allegedly, allegedly,
Alleged.
allegedly.
Dana
All
usually
rumors,
gives us
but
what we want. So.
we were talking about it, and Dana said in the press conference that this is going to be the greatest combat sports card ever, and he's going to be do one and done at the Sphere, and that's apparently what it was. And I saw it in the press conference, and I got really excited. So nothing's confirmed yet. I was talking about it though. I think the way that you do that greatest sports card of all time to really get that kind of shine to it where everyone's going to be kind of freaking out is I think you do Nate Diaz versus Conor McGregor 3,
A
especially
first
since
one.
Conor's back in the sport, and I think Nate wants to do one more UFC fight.
I know you want the trilogy because Nate took the first one, Conor took the second one, but I don't know if that does it anymore, really. I genuinely feel like Conor lost a little bit of I think the UFC world has moved on a little bit from Conor McGregor. And even as a fighter, do we really think, I mean, one win since Obama's been in office. How do you feel about, do you think he could come back and really, I don't know.
Sorry, Chris, before you go,
Yeah.
before you cannot say that the world has moved on from Conor McGregor
Maybe a
because
little
they
bit.
have already broke over a $20 million gate for UFC 303. I tried to get a ticket and I'm gonna have to take out a mortgage if I want to go to that fight. And I don't think the world has moved on from him. If anything, the world is so excited to see him come back. And I think that's the one thing everybody wants to see is that trilogy be completed. I mean, whoever Connor fights, it is the biggest fight in sports still.
I mean, before you jump in here, Chris, not even after Road Bound, so the world's not done with him. No, I'm joking. In a much more serious sense, guys like Ilia Topuria, Max Holloway with the performance over Justin Gaethje. I mean, you hear Sugar Sean O'Malley even, who's kind of taken his place in this new realm and said, hey, I'm not playing second fiddle to Ilia Topuria or Max Holloway. I want the biggest stake. I want the main stage. I mean, any of those guys could play as really the big fish in that ocean there. So we'll just have to see. But Dana usually gives us what we want. Dana usually does what Dana
I
does.
feel like at the Sphere, if it's Sean and Merab and then Ilya and Max, like I feel like that's already pretty like that's nuts. And then
Nuts.
imagine a Conor fight there too. That's probably the greatest combat card of all time. And especially the Ilya and Max is so interesting because it's such a highly coveted and highly awaited fight, but also I don't know if it's at necessarily the size to be a main event by itself, so it'll get placed with another great matchup. So it's almost the perfect kind of fight because it's not big enough to necessarily be the main event, but it's also big enough to the point where if you pair it with something else, you have a hell of a card on your hands and a hell of an amount of buys on your hands as well if you're Dana White.
No, definitely. I also think it's on Mexican Independence Day. So my guess is also you do see Alexa Grasso versus Valentina Shevchenko on that card
That
because
could be the
the
third.
definitely in the Ultimate Fighter season, I believe, kicks off in the next couple weeks. And usually they do those fights, unless you're Conor and Chandler. Usually those fights happen right after the season ends. And I think it's around then that season will finish. And it would just make sense. The last Mexican Independence Day was Alexa versus Shevchenko the last time. So maybe we see the rematch there on this
And
card as well.
also just to along with the Grasso fight, another third main event to the Max and Sean fights. could also be a Dricus defend where defending where he's either defending against Izzy or he's defending again against Sean. That those three fights together, I don't know if there's been three fights on one card in the UFC with that much anticipation. And I think Dricus is kind of coming up on a point where he needs to defend soon, or not even defend soon, but announce soon, I think is kind of the vibe. Just to stay in people's conscious because his last couple fights and the last couple fights with that belt have been so highly anticipated. So he wants to kind of keep that rolling. And honestly, imagine Dricus and Izzy one more time at the Sphere. That would
Oh my
be just
God.
another
Speaking
wave.
of
Or not
Israel,
one more time, before the first time.
before the, I mean, be, like, contender Izzy's gonna be fun again. I mean, Zach, you convinced me. I thought maybe it was a little bit over. Maybe Izzy. No, he has one more. And I just remember his first reign to the title. And I'm like, you know what? Run it back. I would love to absolutely see that one more time. I mean, that's gonna be dope. That's gonna be dope.
I mean, not just the first run to the title, losing the belt to Alex and coming back in
Coming
one of the
back.
most massive ways the sport's ever seen and knocking out this absolute titan in the way that he did it. So I'm excited for that. I have a weird feeling that that fight is going to be on the Perth card. I think it makes sense just in terms of where Izzy is at in the world and his fan base and everything. And it's to me, I don't know. I feel like they keep that one off the Sphere because of all of the potential with the Max and the with Max and Sean O'Malley and possibly Conor McGregor, since it seems like kind of in the timeline of Conor fighting this or next month, sorry, really soon, fighting next month, and it seems like he could be able to make a turnaround and fight the Sphere. So I think maybe you keep that one so you can main event the Perth card. That way you can kind of keep it rolling after that fight. You don't want to use all your gas, all your ammo in one shot. But Dana says it's going to be the greatest card of all time, so why not pull out all the stops? So we'll see. I can't wait to find out though.
And I would love to do a full episode, like just of this show, of maybe just thinking of different elements that could the Sphere could kind of add to the fight. Because kind of thinking about it at the surface, you're kind of thinking you're just going to see creative graphics. But then as you kind of think about it and dig and maybe even get a bit crazy and goofy and also get creative, we could think of some funny ones. So that's even kind of a decent episode idea. Stay tuned. Stay tuned, fans.
Stay tuned indeed. I mean, one more idea out there. I think everybody's forgot about it. Before fight, Dustin and Connor. I mean, like, I know they said the ship has sailed on that, but it's kind of something I want to see. That's the one thing that
Dustin has the belt. That's interesting.
Oh,
Yeah, very.
what? You see the implications there? That'd be
Yeah.
nice. But
I love
Dustin.
that. I love Cardova's very there. That was electric.
I mean,
Yeah.
that's Cordova's boy. I mean, he thinks he's going to take it off of Makhachev, but that's going to be for another episode of Pound for Pound. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. I'm Mahdi Dembélé, joined here by the wonderful Zach Cordova and Chris Carino. Again, Andrew, fly high. Not really that you're dead, but we're going to miss you here around Talking Cage. Pound for Pound is a production of WFUG Sports.